action of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Are you fucking with me?
I am
just disagreeing with you. In America, we have the freedom of speech, the right to disagree.
Any human being, anywhere, is well within his right to do whatever is necessary, by any means necessary, to protect his life and property, especially in a country where the federal government itself has proven that it is either unable or unwilling to protect the lives and property of those human beings.
54, Pierce.
Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more comes from the evil one. Think about that. Even in the words you speak, there is a boundary. You don't need to embellish. You don't need to argue. You don't need to defend.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Brian and Julio. Julio's back.
What's up, guys?
Julio, the man, the myth, the legend.
Garlic
November,
farm.
November 2nd, 2025. We just recorded a couple days ago, but we couldn't wait to come back.
So much to talk about.
It's like 7:30 a.m., we just gained an hour last night, daylight savings. So it's really 8:30.
And Fox was still late.
And I was. Yeah. All right. So what's going on, guys?
Oh, dude. I don't know. Who do you want to catch us up with anything before I start diving into my stuff?
No, I'm sure I'll catch us up in the course of the whole episode. You got something to jump in? We're good.
Oh, I got a long list, man. I felt really bad. I think the last podcast went a little slow. I wasn't really engaged. But Fox, I sent you a list of like seven things we could possibly talk about. They're like current events.
I know. I didn't read it because I was running late. I woke up late. Okay. I'm like,
I'll just highlight. Okay. So like number one, President Trump issued a decree to Nigeria that if they don't stop the slaughter of Christians by the Islamic extremists, he's going to come in there with the military and stop it for them. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Number two, Glock, the gun manufacturer and horse semen collector. True story. They are abandoning their guns for a new design that's supposedly like tamper proof and it's really sketchy. So it's not going to be compatible. They call it the V series, but basically all the pistols they make, they're discontinuing, caving under anti-gun pressure, basically. So that's an interesting thing to talk about.
Did you say semen collector?
Yeah.
I've never heard that. What's that about?
Oh, he's like Glock horse semen and Glock watches. So like that, now they got three lines of business, but horse semen is like number two.
It was Tim Walz involved in that.
Wow. Probably him and Gavin Newsom, right? Number three, Portland mayor and police caught assisting Antifa. Like caught red-handed, like there are receipts. It's bad. And then kind of associated with that, and I made it number seven, the Oregon, I think it was the Attorney General, removed Rose City Antifa from a lawsuit because he said you cannot sue an organization that isn't registered with the state.
Wow.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That just, you can't sue Antifa because they're not registered as an LLC or a corporation. That just opened the door for any shit-kicking piece of shit, you know, communist activist organizations to just run rampant in Oregon. Crazy.
He might have said that, but did it stick? Or
yeah. They and this was this is a lawsuit brought by Andy Ngo, and he may have others, but he basically is suing for all the physical damage, you know, the threats to his life, both physical and written, etc. So there's that. Number four, I love this. Have you noticed that all the people online complaining about SNAP going away because of the government shutdown are not Republicans.
Imagine that.
Yep. Number five, Kash Patel has gotten in the way of Tulsi Gabbard investigating foreign government involvement with an assassination of one of Trump's cabinet members. And he basically said, you're not going to investigate this. So it kind of reeks of Mossad. All of a sudden, all of our cats are puking. Why? Seriously, it's like coordinated. Cats puke, right? But now it's like we have one cat we got from a shelter, and then like five that were strays. They just come to our house, and we, got big hearts, and we take them in. But all of a sudden, all six of them are just puking. And it may be just the change in the weather, but I kind of threw that in as a joke. And that's my list. So we'll probably get to one of those.
Well, I'm really, as far as Kash Patel goes, man, I was so excited at first when his name was brought up, and he's just turned out to be just Trump's bitch. He did,
Unfortunately.
yeah. And I could imagine working for Trump would be, it would not be like, it's not gonna, I'm not gonna do things my way. You can't. So, and but that would, it would suck working for Trump. But I don't know, man. That did, so what was that about now with Kash Patel? I'm
Now I
not
hadn't heard.
surprised, but
And I hadn't heard about the event, but apparently one of Trump's cabinet members was assassinated, or there was a tangible plot to knock off one of these guys for some reason, and there was evidence that there was a foreign government or governments involved. Tulsi Gabbard was investigating it. Kash Patel stepped in front of her and said, "No, you're not. This isn't going anywhere. Stop it."
yeah,
So it's
so
super sketchy.
it was probably the intelligence agencies, which, that you can talk about MI6, the Mossad, or the CIA. It's all one, to me, it's all one big conglomerate. And so that's probably what the problem was there. And I thought things were going to be different with Trump, but it's turning out to be a shit show. What do you think, Julio? I know you love Trump.
No, I mean I feel the same way. Like I had a lot, I thought there was going to be a lot of potential with Kash Patel at first, and like they came out of the dugout like with like a lot of power,
Right.
and then it just got extinguished. Like, I don't trust the guy. There's been so many instances, so many things that were supposed to be revealed, by the conservatives, by the right wing or whatever you want to call it, this new party draining the swamp, and it hasn't come out. It hasn't materialized. Like
Right.
I even hate the picture of him. You see that bug-eye picture of him? He looks all bug-eyed.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like that's after he saw the Epstein files, they say. But
Which there
I
isn't one, right? Trump's like,
supposedly.
why are you guys still talking about this? And it's like, what?
Yeah, they I don't know, man. Like, Neem and all these people threaten to expose things and bring things to light, and then they don't. I really don't get it. What are they hiding?
Definitely something. And I think a lot of, I don't know. I've heard Trump was on the list, and it wouldn't matter if he was or wasn't, but it's probably someone that's controlling him. We all know that the people that we see on TV and in office, they're not really the ones that are controlling things. It's the people that, above them.
The handlers.
Right. What do you think, Brian?
Well, I think there's incriminating evidence. There has to be, right? And it's not, if it's not Trump, it could be any number of his cabinet. And it's so, calls into question so many things that they're just are, they would rather cover it up than have to deal with it. Because as we know, they suck at telling facts about things that the Democrats run with. And all the Democrats need is blood in the water. And they basically got it, right? Because this, to cover up the obfuscation, it doesn't look good at all. And they're really screwing the pooch by not just owning it. That's, you know, this, he's trying to do what Clinton did. Clinton, their whole, both Bill and Hillary, you know, deny, 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 prove I did it. And that was their strategy. And that's what Trump is trying to do. And he's just not getting away with it. His people are too smart. The Democrats would fall for that shit, right? No offense,
Right.
Democrats, but the Republicans and the conservatives and the people that are, well, anti-Democrat maybe, they're not falling for it.
Yeah.
You know, if I give you a bright and shiny orange ball, will you forget about the Epstein files? It's like, no. Get, you know, and now they're saying the Epstein files don't exist. It was a euphemism. It's like, well, then why did Pam Bondi say, I've got the files on my desk?
Right. It's funny
Stupid.
you said anti-Democrat. It's like so many people are becoming aware of this. Against, they don't believe the mainstream media anymore. And so it's basically like there's like a new group of people that's just anti-establishment altogether. And I think that's what I was to begin with. I've always said that, you know, it's like let's say to me there shouldn't even be a federal government. We've got the National Guard. You know what I mean? You should be able to and our citizens have more guns than the rest of the, you know, several times more than the rest of the world put together. And it's like, but I mean, it doesn't come down to that. It's like Biden said, what are you going to do? Fight? What are you going to do against F-16s? You know what I mean? So I'm against the federal government, and I just like that you said that, but because the two-party system seems to be going away, and I think that scares them a lot. So what comes after that? You know, what are they gonna, what's it gonna transform into?
Well, the problem, if I can jump in there. I think the problem with no federal government is that then the states become effectively their own countries. And you have no guarantees of cooperation. You have no guarantees of peaceable travel. You have no, you know, good luck taking your short-barreled rifle from Ohio or Michigan to Tennessee. Good luck. You know, you get pulled over by Kentucky State Patrol and they throw you in jail or something because there's no peaceable journey laws anymore. And there's no, you know, the whole point of the federal government was to create consistency and open the doors between the states to permit interstate commerce. And people poo-poo that and the whole, like, you know, the sovereign citizen folks use this as like one of their biggest cudgels is, you know, I'm not involved in commerce, so the federal government has no, you know, no authority over me. It's like, well, but you're in Georgia and we have license, driver's license rules. You know, sorry, dude.
Right.
You know, we have vehicle registration rules. It's all taxation and control, of course, but the federal government's necessity is national security and protecting the states and ensuring that citizens of the, you know, the United States, the 50 states together as a logical legal entity operate under a federal system that permits us to get shit done, you know, and like all the bans on, you know, like interstate banking that existed in the 60s and 70s, well, before the 80s and 90s, that's bullshit stuff, you know, and like the insurance limitations and insurance companies can only operate at a state level. That's all bullshit. That's all controlled by the corporations and things, you know, as we like to say. But if you get rid of that, if you get rid of A, who's going to protect the country? Because then, you know, the U.S. Army goes away, the Marines go away, the Navy goes away, Space Force goes away, Air Force goes, you know, it just collapses. And every state would then have to have, well, they have their militia as National Guard, but even that structure is owned by the federal government. So then that falls apart. Now every state, now you're back to a tribal system. Georgia's tribal, Kentucky's tribal, you know. So that's bad. It's really bad. It's bad for us. And the founders knew it. The problem has been the encroachment of federal control and federal power that just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing, kind of unchecked, right? Because we, the people, have been asleep at the wheel for too long. So I think that, to me, and I don't disagree with you fundamentally, Fox. They're out of control and they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. 100% agree. But I think the real solution is to burn it to the ground and rebuild it the way it was supposed to be and keep it that way. And if we can do that, you know, it is going to require overturning some constitutional amendments. I think it's not the 13th, it's maybe the 15th, where they change the way Senate is elected. Some people would say women shouldn't vote. You know, I mean, it opens a rat's nest, right,
Yeah.
of issues. But if you got rid of the federal government, then the Constitution's gone. That's a federal document, you know. So it's a necessary evil. It's just needs to be a controlled evil. And we failed. We failed miserably at it. And FDR is a great example of just, you know, federal government run wild. What do you do?
Right.
I'm no scholar, you know, but I've thought about this a lot because I hate it the way it is. I remember growing up and thinking, like, I mean, just being abjectly terrified of the federal government. And this is, you know, early 70s. I was a kid and I was watching stuff, you know, Vietnam was spinning down and you had Abscam and Nixon's scandals and all this stuff going on. And it's like trying to comprehend how does this affect us? And my parents basically just said, don't worry about it because they're parents
Right.
and they didn't want their kid worrying about that crap. But
Yeah,
nerd Brian inside my brain was trying to figure it out and just going, holy shit. You know, it's like, wow, I'm just waiting for the helicopters to show up outside. What did we do wrong?
that's
Seriously, you know, and
hilarious. Little Brian
I'm telling you.
is trying to figure out the problems with the federal government.
It was more
At
like,
what age?
I don't know. It's probably this would be like 76, 77. So I was 10 years old. And it was more like, what do I have to do to not be attacked by the federal government? What do I have to do to not be arrested or put in prison? And that trying to figure that is like, okay, where are the boundaries? What? Okay. If I get a speeding ticket, they're not involved. You know, I was like going through this whole like list of crimes. Misdemeanors and felonies. I was trying to figure out what's federal because I didn't understand the whole layering of the government, you know. But I was horrified. It's like the IRS, you know, because my parents, we grew up dirt freaking poor in a middle class neighborhood. And because my dad didn't work and my mom had to work. And we didn't have to deal a lot with stuff, but they talked a lot about taxation and, you know, federal interest rates and things like that, because it directly affected our quality of life day to day and whether or not I was going to get a pair of Levi's or a pair of tough skin, Sears tough skin jeans, you know, that were made of plastic and reinforced fiberglass, probably.
Yeah, they used to talk shit about Wranglers also back then. You
Yeah.
remember that song, the commercial? Because the cool kids had Levi's, and
The
the poor
Richies.
kids had Wranglers.
Yeah.
And then you come walking down the hall, and they go, "Here comes Wrangler. He's one tough customer."
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Dude, all
Now we
those all those brands that we grew up thinking as cheap are now like the popular ones.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on the culture too, right? Is it Southern culture? Is it Northern? I mean, I grew up in California. We were, what's the movie line? You're nothing. You're not a Yankee. You're not a, you're not a Southerner. You're nothing. So we didn't know what we were.
We're at in California.
Right in the middle, San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay.
Oh man.
Yeah,
It was great.
I was born in Long Beach,
Oh
only
wow.
because my dad was stationed there at the time.
No, it, I would not trade my childhood in the Bay Area for anything. It was amazing. It really, really was. And it is back, of course, 70s and 80s. And then things got, when Silicon Valley really hit, and then all the prices of everything just started to skyrocket because technology was exploding. Pardon me. That's when it got completely unaffordable, and all of our friends and family, any of them that had a house, it was because the families had a house, had a spare house or something they were renting, and they would sell it to their kids. Everybody else was, in an apartment. We were in an apartment. We wanted to have a house, so we moved out of California, and we
Yeah.
bought one. First house, $70,000 in Colorado. The median price in California at that time was $250,000, and there was no freaking way I was going to afford that at, $12 an hour.
Yeah.
So
And
moving solved that problem.
it's only skyrocketed in California since then. You
Oh
know,
yeah.
it's like ridiculous out there.
The house I grew up in, my parents had custom built for 20 grand in 1961, and it is currently on the market for, I think, 2.8 million.
Wow.
Wow.
Amazing.
And it's not a, it's nothing special by
Right.
any means, four bedroom. It's a good size house, but I loved growing up there. It was great. And we were isolated from all the crap that was happening. And Republicans ruled California there for a long, long time. Reagan was a governor. I think Jim Davis. There were quite a few Republican governors. And then right there at kind of the end of Reagan's second term, 87, 88, you got guys like Alan Cranston came in. I called him Skeletor. Democrat, and he just started burning the place to the ground. And it
Yeah.
went from, California was the breadbasket of the freaking world, man. They exported more produce out of California to other countries than any other country. And they
Yeah.
provided produce to the United States. Everything. I mean, everything but like bananas. But, especially the California cash crops, wine, almonds, apples, anything. We used to go, we'd camp in the Sierra Nevada, gold country, where Sutter's Fort, Sutter's Mill, and stuff. And we would stop in the Sacramento Valley and pick peaches like off the trees. We'd go to this orchard my mom knew about, and we could just go out with a ladder, grab these giant, I mean, as a kid, they were just like baby head sized peaches. They were fucking amazing. And all that shit's gone now. It's all houses. It's all, it's just been destroyed. Their whole, not whole, but largely speaking, their infrastructure for creating produce, vegetables, fruits, everything is just in the shitter. And it's all environmental bullshit. They
Right.
shut off the water to the farmers because of the Delta smelt, this little tiny fish that they found in these waterways. And it's insanity, So anyway, that happened right as we were leaving. And then it just went, I wouldn't live there if you paid me right now.
Right.
But it was a freaking amazing place to grow up. It really
California
was.
used to be the rest of the United States used to
Used to move there.
they used to think it was a great place, and now it's the opposite. It's
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
the
And they're all
redheaded
going,
stepchild of the United States.
and all the super liberal people have moved to Las Vegas and Oregon, and they're just tearing those places down,
Right.
Look at what's happening at
Washington,
Portland.
Oregon, even Colorado. And then on the other end, you got
Yeah,
New York
Colorado.
City, which is another shithole.
Yeah, when I
But
left Colorado, it was conservative. So watch me move across the country in the states I live in, go down the shitter. So that's why I think our next step. So it's California, Colorado, or Ohio, and now I'm gonna like buy a old aircraft carrier or something and just live out in the Pacific. I'll just be in international waters. Come and get me, liberals.
It's funny that we're talking about the 80s and the 70s and 80s. I was just talking to one of my family members about this. So you know how obviously they we're supposed to we're not supposed to talk trash about cross dressers and stuff like that anymore. And it was brought up about my sister used to have a Culture Club album. Remember Boy George?
Oh, yeah.
I want to say that was like 82. So I would have been 10 years old. And she would play the record, "Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?" And I would always say, "Yes."
Yes.
I'm like, "What is this freak doing on the cover of an album?" You know, I me and Julio used to do episodes all the time. My dad would he caught me with my mom bought me a who are they, Julio? The gays,
YMCA,
the
Village
Village
People,
People.
Village People, who aren't gay apparently, but
Really?
yeah,
What? But my
it's like an
dad,
act. Anyway,
seen I had a Village People record, and he's like, "You know they're queer, right?" I'm like, "What? You know they're all dressed up. It looks like fucking Halloween." I don't know.
it's funny you
But
mentioned Boy
yeah,
George.
I really didn't want to hurt him. He deserves it.
Well, it's funny. Where did you want
Oh God, see
to hurt
the face,
him?
dude.
My introduction to Boy George was sophomore year of high school in German class, and I sat next to this punk rocker, Mike Byers. This guy was the greatest guy, super friendly. We were good friends. And he would, mohawk, trench coat. He had a straight razor in his pocket. He'd never use it. He was just all for image, but
Okay,
we're sitting
where'd you
there.
live at this point?
It was California.
California, all right.
Yeah. And Mike leans over and he's like, he has this photograph. He goes, "Is this a man or a woman?" I'm like, "Oh, that's a woman." He said, "Nope, that's a man. That's Boy George." I'm like, "Holy shit, what?" He's a good looking woman for a guy, And back then,
I
you didn't call
disagree.
him. Well, you didn't call them transgender. It was transvestite. It was like
Or a
guys that want,
cross-dresser.
or
I call
it's
them
same.
cross-dressers.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what transvestite means. So yeah, pick your poison. But now,
No, in my to my understanding, if you're a transsexual, you got your dick and balls cut off.
that's
Otherwise, you're
different
just
than
a
a transvestite,
cross-dresser.
which is a transvestite. They were just cross dressers, so they were guys that would go to clubs and shit dressed up like women at night, but at
Well, I
the
mean,
daytime,
those are drag queens, aren't they?
Or a
you
cross-dresser.
could be, but
Yeah.
now it's all blurred now. I'm just saying
That's what I'm
back,
saying. Yeah, they try to blur it on purpose.
yeah, I don't
Yeah. But
disagree,
back then it was just,
but I
there
mean.
was a guy that lived in our neighborhood named Mr. Cromley. He would wait until we were walking home from school, okay? And he would dress up in lingerie and he would crack the drapes just a little bit. And we would be all walking home from school.
He's in there.
No,
Kids.
Fox was looking right in the window.
So, okay.
Oh, he got a lot of eggs and toilet paper. Let's put it that
Oof.
way.
In my defense, transvestite, noun, someone who adopts the dress or manner of a sexual role of the opposite sex. That's what it was. They would just dress up like, woman would, you never heard about women dressing up like men. It was men dressing up like women.
Yeah, but what was that definition 30 years ago?
That's what it
Yeah,
was.
that's what it
Okay.
was.
And that was
Simple.
cross dresser, is transvestite. And we call them trannies. And now tranny means transsexual, not trans. You know what I mean? So they've,
Lady
yeah.
boys.
Well,
there's lady boys.
I got to get some more coffee. Do you guys want to talk to each other? Or you want me to pause it?
Sure. We can pause it. I got to run to the bathroom too.
All right.
That's okay.
All right.
All right. We're back. Brian took a shit. Julio's keyboard took a shit. So, all right, my plan is to start doing Friday after Bible study. So, Julio, you said you're switching jobs, right?
Yeah.
Is that for sure, or are you still waiting to hear something?
It's kind of in between right now at the same time. Even though I have security job,
yeah,
it's kind of in between. Because if I hear back from the one I really want, I will definitely go for that. But right now I'm looking at Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 6:30 p.m. to 5 a.m.
For your new job or the old one?
For my new one.
Oh, shit. So you ain't going to be able to do it anyway. I thought you said it was day shift.
Correct. That's why I'm waiting for that one. You know, then I'm going to be working in the deep underground bunkers. Going back to the feds. That's why I think my background is kind of like slowing down the whole process, and I wonder if it has anything to do with the shutdown, like I told you.
Right.
Yeah.
So Brian, what else did you have on that list?
Let's see. The list that I sent you? Yeah, let me look at that. Was
bad. Unless you have another list.
No. I was just jabbing you because you have it. very passive aggressive of me.
Yeah.
Trump, the Nigeria thing. So yet again, you know, Christians are the literal freaking whipping boy of Islam. And it, apparently, I have a little bit of information. Apparently, Christians are 50% of the population of Nigeria. And for what? We're turn the other cheek people, you know? And that's what's happening. And they're getting slaughtered, apparently. You know, this is like Syria, Lebanon, all these countries, you know, that have waged a holy war against Christianity through Islamic extremism. And President Trump said, knock it off. Freaking knock it off, or we're going to come in there and save the Christians. Which, it's shitty. It's yet another, you know, entanglement. We got Venezuela cooking off right now. They fired missiles on us, on our ships.
Who's this?
Venezuela.
They launched, I hear that one.
Two Su-230s or something like that, loaded with anti-shipping missiles, four total, two on each aircraft, and they fired all four of them. And they fired on a destroyer, which was a really stupid freaking idea. Because the destroyer has like four lines of defense. The AWACS picked up the planes, the satellites picked up the planes, all the defenses of the destroyer kicked into gear. They ended up having to use the Sea Whiz at the very end because the last missile survived the counter missile attack. But it continued to travel toward the destroyer, so they kicked on the Sea Whiz and just blew it out of the sky. But how that's not an act of war, I'm not sure.
Right.
Yeah. Didn't Maduro ask for support from Russia and Iran?
No, I'm sure yeah, he did.
They're already there. They're already on the shores. And from China as well. And there's videos of the Chinese and the U.S. ships side by side. Like, kind of like, you know, like, kind of like.
What do you
do? Yeah. Yeah.
Don't.
Like, as long as none of us fires, like, we're just infringing on one another. But, dude, that's a whole. Venezuela, the whole thing with that is really, really interesting. So, like, we're being sold this whole idea that we're countering drugs, right? And yes, we are taking drug shipments out of the water. But this shit has been going on for forever. Why are we giving a fuck about it right now? Why?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because Guyana, have you guys heard about this? The Guyana reserves of oil?
No.
They're owned by ExxonMobil. And there's been this dispute since the 1800s because Venezuela and Guyana were owned by the Dutch. And there's been this whole dispute about who owns who and what territory.
Yeah, and I did hear about that.
And they found oil in Guyana in a part that belongs to Venezuela. And so the United States government has prioritized keeping Venezuela out of that. I might not be saying it in the right words, but I mean, you can explore this concept and look into it and see that it's really not about protecting the citizens from the drugs. It's about protecting mineral rights. That's all it fucking ever is. It's about protecting, you know, like petroleum assets, you know, that belong to who and who and whatever. But I mean, like, if it was really about the drugs and caring about the people in the United States, we would be bombing in the same way Mexico, China, like all the people creating all these chemicals. But we're not. Why are we doing it to Venezuela?
Yeah.
That's a good question. And I find when I start to dig into stuff like this, and I'm not saying this is the case. I'm not, you know, I'm a pragmatist. I try to look at I look at the information and try to make a decision. But there's a reason the security of our people fiscally in terms of independence from China, independence from Russia, independence from Saudi Arabia, you know, is dependent on natural resources and mineral rights, you know? And so it's kind of like it is unfortunately a fundamental tipping point of global, you know, geopolitical issues. And was Iraq about oil? Yep. You know, against, you know, I fell for the whole Republican line, you know, weapons of mass destruction. And it really was about oil and mineral rights and, you know, Putin and Trump's negotiations about Ukraine have come down to mineral rights. And so.
And when it's not about oil, it's usually about like poppy fields or
could
pharmaceuticals
be.
Or some kind of resource.
But this is definitely a play to prevent the petrodollar from being replaced by the yuan or the yen or whatever the fuck China uses.
Well, now they're talking about BRICS. You've heard that, right?
No, is that a like a digital currency thing or actual BRICS? I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
What's it stand BRICS. For? BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India,
China.
China.
Oh, they
want Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But and it started with those five or six countries, but now it's expanded and they have a summit like every year. And they're trying. We put out an episode a couple years ago where I thought that was the summit that was going to end it. You know, the petrodollar.
Mm-hmm.
Because Saudi Arabia is involved in this now. And I can't even remember what it's backed by. Do you remember that, Julio? Is it?
No, I do not.
It's backed by something. It's not digital. Might be just gold, you know, but.
What a concept.
Yeah, right.
Some tangible physical asset that's actually measurable. But look, if you look, so current events are interesting. They're playing into this as well. Like Trump just announced that he's put nuclear weapons testing back on the table. These things I didn't even, we're talking about all the shit I didn't list. That's funny. but why, you know, and you can look at it skeptically. You can look at it nationalistically, you know, when did the petrodollar really take hold of the world? And it was World War II. In my opinion, you know, before that you had the Depression, And so we were taking it in the shorts, and then World War II turned everything around, and we had, control basically over Japan, over Germany, over like these industrial centers of the world. Saudi Arabia was not a power yet. We were just discovering oil. We were just teaching them how to mine, how to farm petroleum and stuff like that. But the United States effectively took over the financial umbrella of everything with the petrodollar. And Trump is doing everything he can to keep that in place. So Venezuela, Nigeria, I'm sure factors in, yeah, Christians are being slaughtered, but is this a play to overthrow the Nigerian government for other reasons?
There's always like an ulterior motive, I think.
A bonus. Hey,
Yeah.
we're saving all these Christians, and by the way, we're going to
Yeah.
own the pipeline that runs from Nigeria to Tanzania or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Exactly right, Julio. I agree. And that's the same thing with, when Kuwait was invaded by Saddam Hussein. The company I worked for had computer systems in Kuwait. Kuwait was like, they were light years ahead of the West in terms of like telecommunications and stuff. It didn't reflect at all into the surrounding countries like UAE and Egypt. Kuwait had fiber optic communications in 1990. What the hell? They had high speed stuff. They had all these computer systems. The company I worked for made really big Unix computers, and I'm just saying this is just a tangential memory. But when Saddam invaded Kuwait, there was one of our guys was at this telecom facility and watched the Republican Guard soldiers rolling our computers out the loading dock onto pickup trucks. They had no fucking idea what they were dealing with, these computers, and they probably broke them just moving them out of the building. But I just thought that was hilarious. They're driving down the road with these giant Unix mainframe class computers in their trucks. It was just a pillage operation for Saddam, and then we use that as the whole shoehorn. It's like, we finally have our opportunity. We can finally get into, we can get into Saudi Arabia, or we can get into the oil fields. And Saddam was a piece of shit for sure, but yeah, that whole thing.
I thought it was about the Stargates.
Kurt Russell was over there, and
That
that was a good movie. The
was a
first
great
one,
movie.
it was a really good movie.
Indeed.
But yeah, they jumped a shark like they always do. Where are we going? Petrodollar. So yeah, so now how do we do that though? How do we? I actually got back. This is amazing. This is like I retreated up my rabbit trail. I got back to the point. How do we maintain that power? And it's through appearances.
Yep.
Appearances and actions, so we're Trump is, like him or hate him, he knows he's a good chess player, a really, really good chess player. And I think he's got intel. He understands the moving parts. He understands what it means if we lose that power. It's bad for us.
Right.
It's really, really bad for us. And so we can bitch and moan about it. We don't have to like it, but we just have to understand what the circuit, what the consequences are. If we lose the petrodollar power in the world, the United States is going to be, I don't want to say a joke, but we're going to be the shoe shiners for Russia and China. Seriously, I mean,
Yeah.
I think it's a big, big deal. And so, yeah, we do this stuff with Venezuela, we do this stuff with Nigeria, with Kuwait and Iraq. And a lot of it's bad. It's really bad. It's bad for the soldiers. It's bad for the citizens.
Well,
Is a
it's
20-year
funny.
war better than Saddam Hussein? No.
It's funny if you think about how the transition from gold to the petrodollar. It was under Nixon when this all happened. And think about what percentage of the population do you think even knew that that even happened? It was probably like less than 10%. Probably it was minute, man. Like, people didn't, they do this shit under, in the shadows, you know, and nobody even knew what was going on.
It started under FDR, though, because FDR outlawed the public's ability to own gold. He outlawed it. And you had to turn your gold in or you were a federal criminal. Do you know who talks about that, you know?
Right.
And that's when people started burying their shit in their yard. Seriously, get an ammo can, you know, and bury your gold. And just that stuff's out there. I'm just saying, if you wanted to be a gold finder, you know, go look in old homes yards with a metal detector. But FDR started it. FDR was.
I just looked up if FDR was a Jew, but he's not.
All right, here we go with this shit.
It's good. It's good to take that off the table. So, congratulations. But yeah, I mean, the downfall of America, you could argue started when we started. You know, how did we handle Indians? How did we handle international relations? It was by force from the very, very beginning, right? We founded our foundation on violence and overthrowing King George.
Right.
And that's a kind of a cosmic bit of karma, I think, is coming back to haunt us a little bit.
But we've always been Britain's bitch in some way or shape or form. And now they're blurring the lines between Britain and Israel, right? So we've always got somebody.
I'm not sure I agree with you on that, but keep elucidate.
I feel like when you look at the intelligence agencies, it's never just the CIA or the FBI. It's always they're working together with the Mossad. They're working with MI6. And I just feel like the United States has never been a sovereign entity in my viewpoint. I just feel like there's something going on behind the scenes, and it always seems to have to do with Britain, and lately more so with Israel, to me.
I think the expression politics makes strange bedfellows is so true, right? It's like we do these deals, either they're trade deficits that benefit the UK or benefit France or benefit Israel or whoever, and it's a tit for tat system, and that's really what we're dealing with. And we have to make good on these promises, or we're in Dutch with whoever, you know, we're in Dutch with Netanyahu, or we're in Dutch with you know, some other leader who we made promises to and then reneged on the promises. And that shit, it's all done under the cover of sovereignty, right? We're doing this to protect our sovereignty. We're doing this to protect the assets and the interest of the American people. Like the tariffs, you know, it's a weapon that's being used to try to right a wrong that, you know, Biden, holy shit. If you look at what he was giving away, especially to China, you know, and Trump's trying to fix some of that. And is he heavy handed? Yes.
Yeah. Know, like, I think some of that is kind of like a relationship. Like, if, like, you got to give and take a little bit.
Exactly.
You know, like somebody sets something in place, but then you got to like walk into it and try to figure out, how do I navigate this situation for the best outcome?
Yeah, we don't like child sex trafficking, but we really like oil. So we'll turn a blind eye, Assad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And And so that's funny. Like, I don't think can you really accomplish great things in 4 years? You know, like a presidential term, like there's in the Bible, like people that reign for like 40,000 years. You would think that those people would be wise, right? That they would have a lot more wisdom after 40,000 years. Like, shit. I mean, I'm in my 40s, and I feel like I'm already like, I get that some people just need to make their mistakes. Like, I'm a lot more passive. Like, I have a lot more knowledge in a way. And I think that somebody in with 40,000 years of knowledge would have a lot more knowledge to guide a civilization. I don't know. I wonder if things would be different if we had longer presidential reigns, where you could accomplish things in a longer space. You wouldn't have to continuate it from somebody else, which is kind of what we're doing. And then is that why we are in the position we are in with some of these countries, where it's like we're just trying to make up for what the other one did, or what the other one didn't accomplish, or
Right.
what the other one lacked on?
You mean like instead of having like a two-party system, you would have like a bloodline, like a king or something like that?
I mean, I wasn't saying that, but
I'm just saying.
there's a natural outgrowth to some of this. It's like getting rid of the federal government opens up all these other problems, right? It's like
Right.
a two-party system provides a direct bias of two opposing forces. Now, whether or not it's a uniparty and it's morphed into something that's an abortion of what it was supposed to be, that could be argued. But look at, Britain is a great example of if you have unlimited parties, the chaos did it. Have you guys ever watched an election in the UK? You got dudes in clown suits. I represent the clowns. You got feminists running the feminist party, and you got it's a joke. It's an absolute joke, and it just subdivides, the pie slices of the votes, mostly in inconsequential ways. Really, you're talking hundreds or thousands of votes that get peeled off for these nut jobs. But
Julio, are you smoking dope?
no.
I just wanted to point that out. Thanks.
But I think what I'm just going back to, I think the two-party system is a necessary evil for that bias. Is it being manipulated and in a way that's negative for people? It is, is, but like term limits and stuff, I think we've got enough history to prove presidential term limits are probably not a bad thing, FDR. Look at what, but on the other hand, it's like when you ration something from someone. Kids are a great example. Like, we used to ration our kids 30 minutes a day on video games. That was it, because we were sick of, just the fight. Well, what did it turn into? It turned into every day revolved around that 30 minutes, and they would do everything they
Right,
needed to do to
right.
make sure they could play video games. It's like you if you ration something, there's an unintended consequence of focus. And the presidential elections, now they got 2 terms. Boy, if they get that second term, boop, lame duck president, all bets are off. You don't know what's going to happen, And Julio, your point about, can 1 term or even 2 terms affect real change? And I think a lot of the stuff Trump's doing is necessary, but he's doing it as executive orders, and all that shit's that could just be thrown away as soon as he leaves
And
that
it will be
office.
thrown
It
away.
will be, exactly. If it's not made, the real power, the real, if Trump were truly a great leader, these things would all be passed as laws, right? He would be in enshrining them as law so that they can't be just overturned, right? It would have to be fought for. And instead, these are all, it's all window dressing. It just, I hate to say it, but it's a fact, And Trump is not the worst offender of executive orders.
Right.
FDR had thousands of them. Clinton had hundreds, if not thousands. Everybody did. But they're temporary.
Yep.
Some of, and it if you want to talk about what's broken, you know, the bureaucratic operational state of the United States is by far, in my opinion, the worst thing. When you have organizations like the BATFE able to throw citizens in prison for federal crimes that are not laws, what the hell is that? You know, because it was a policy, and some manager or director in a field office determined that a force reset triggers a machine gun, and then it's chaos, you know, and all of a sudden thousands of American citizens are now felons like that, and it wasn't even a law. You know, that shit has to end. And it's gonna, the thing is, it would necessarily inhibit change. And that's exactly what our system was designed to do, right? The whole point of Congress, the way it's subdivided, the divisions of powers with the, you know, the courts and the executive branch and the legislative branch, that was all designed to slow the fuck down. Don't do this shit knee jerk. You know, it's got to go through policy. It's got to be, you know, Schoolhouse Rock, right? It's like you gotta come up with an idea. You have to get backing for it. It's got to go to committee. The committee's got to approve it. Then it gets proposed as a potential, you know, law. Then it gets voted on in the House. Then it gets voted on in the Senate. And then the House gets to resolve it. And you know, and then it goes to the president, and he can veto it. That's just the way the shit works. And it's a pain in the ass. It's slow. It's painstaking. I mean, you know, I'm fighting to get the VA to stop killing veterans, and it's so freaking hard. It's so hard to get progress, even though the evidence is crystal clear that their overprescription practices are murdering patriotic Americans, you know, and yet they just keep doing it. And so that pain, I've got a personal investment in that. But that's my focus, right? But as for the American people, all this shit was designed to protect us from tyranny. And unfortunately, what we have a shit ton of tyranny, you know? And I got into it on X with a conservative of all people talking about Lois Lerner and the whole IRS scandal back when Obama was president, you know, and they were inhibiting 501c applications for conservative corporations. And they did it in such a crafty way that you can't say that they just focused on conservatives. So it's like, hey, you know, we have to throw some liberal organizations in here or they're going to accuse us. They'll be able to just look at this and go, okay, you guys are singling out conservatives. And so there's like 5% are liberal. And so that's what everybody uses as their eject, as their emergency exit. You know, oh no, they didn't just, they weren't denying, they just sent them back. They just like, okay, they're inhibiting, they're using their federal power as an agency of the federal government to inhibit lawful commerce for rules in the tax code for these organizations, you know, to be able to have these benefits, and you're inhibiting it. It's if it's not denial, it's still an abuse of power. That's the point, you know. And people get to caught up in all these the nuances of shit. And it's hard, man. It's really, really hard to not be tribal about it, to not, you know. And I'm so fell victim to that in 2000 after 9/11, of just basically saying, I hear all this chatter and I hear all this, you know, these like libertarians ripping on Bush for what he's doing in the Gulf, but I gotta trust him. I don't know what's the alternative. We're gonna be attacked by Islam. You know, it was like the fear, they really, really tapped into that. The fear drives you to do irrational things.
And
And
that was 25 years ago, and it hasn't changed. It's gotten worse.
it's
It's
gotten
still
worse.
pro wrestling.
Yeah, it is.
And it's the bottom line is the whole system is just broken. And I don't know how we fix it,
Got to
but
burn it down.
something's got to be done.
I don't know. You almost need benevolent dictator to fix it. Somebody who will tear it all down, take control, tear it all down, and rebuild it the way it's supposed to be and then step out.
You mean
But
like
you gotta,
AI?
no, I mean like Trump. Hey,
I'm
hi.
just kidding. I'm talking about that
I
video
know.
that we play that I
Yeah.
played on the last episode.
Yeah, we can't trust the robot to load our dishwasher without being controlled by a human, but we'll let it take over because we trust AI. No, but it, you know what I mean? It's like it's crazy. It's a paradox. You almost have to bow to a king to fix the shit that we got ourselves into. But that would be, to me, that's like the only way is just to control alt delete United States of America. You know, boom, fire all the representatives, fire all the senators, fire, destroy every social infrastructure program, everything, national parks, everything. Strip, because national parks, that's our land. And yet
Right.
the federal government owns over 50% of Utah. How
Actually,
the
Brian, it belongs to the Native Americans.
right? Well, and it belonged to Genghis Khan before that, and it belonged
Right.
to right Genghis Khan, dude.
Was Egypt.
Yeah.
He was
Well,
everywhere. Anyway, it's you
survival
would.
of the fittest, right? So mankind has been fighting over land and pussy since the beginning of time.
Fact
So,
and money,
yeah, well,
they kind of equate, right?
yeah, right. All right, I gotta start getting ready for church. I'm probably not gonna put this out till this afternoon when I get done or when I get back. Well, so Julio, hopefully you get that day shift job because, like I said, my plan is to start recording on Friday evening, like 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. I'm just waiting on that federal background check, man. I think
Well,
that government shutdown fucked me, man.
yeah, for sure.
Damn.
Yeah, I
Well.
applied for a county job with the sheriff's department and I haven't heard anything. That's a huge background. It's the same thing, right? It's like a top secret security clearance.
Yeah.
Doing what? Are you going to be like a deputy?
No, it was in the communications department. I was hoping it would
Okay.
be like a press conference
Yeah.
person, you know, spokesman, but I think it's more like 911 operator. I don't know if I could hack that. I'm a little too empathetic. Yeah, the shit makes me cry. I'm a big baby, so it might not be a good fit, but it's something. Yeah, it's just an option. I'm you know,
So you're just
unemployed.
waiting on your background check?
I'm not waiting. It's just out there.
Okay.
I haven't
Yeah.
heard anything.
Yeah, like I got my background check from this other job I just applied to last week. Already back. I'm supposed to start it like next week. I mean, is it the job I want? No, not really. Is it the schedule I want? Not really, but I mean, it gets me back on my feet.
You got to pay the bills, dude. That's
Yeah.
I've been unemployed for 16 months, 17, actually 17 this month. It's fucking horrifying. I'm shitting
Yeah.
bricks. I'm shitting bricks. But I actually got some help. Just a really positive end note here. I was able to. I had to go create a Facebook account. That's all I'll say. And it was only for the purpose of posting a plea for help to the Save a Warrior Facebook group. And that has been paying off huge. And there's a lady in there. She's like, call me. And she helped me completely kick the crap out of my resume and get it tuned up. And she works for an aerospace company and is pretty sure I can get a job there. And then she and another guy are offering to be my referrals and some other stuff. So I've got some real positive results from that. And then a buddy of mine also works for a big healthcare provider that's everywhere in the United States, and he's going to refer me to. I just applied this morning. So good pay, good
Nice.
fit. You know, I applied yesterday to a contractor that's developing virtual vehicle simulations that are used in like pre-combat and actual active combat situations. Like it feeds into aircraft targeting scenarios and all kinds of, it sounds really freaking cool. And that's actually a good fit too. I've got a software development background. So anyway, there's
Oh,
options
that's
out
cool.
there, but No, I haven't even gotten a phone call from
Well,
anybody.
good luck to both of you guys, man. I hope
Yeah,
you get what
appreciate
you're
it.
looking for.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, like I really feel like so like let down on this whole process because like I have not heard anything back and like I'm just frustrated. But I really think it's that federal thing because these are federal background checks.
Yeah,
Like
yeah.
my normal one came back like right away. Came back like within 12 hours. So I don't know.
It's wild.
All right. Well,
Good
so
talk, man.
the whole summary of this episode basically is that the system is broken. We talked about a lot of government. So
We need it. We can't
I
stand
don't
it.
know. It just happened. Nobody planned it. Well, Brian did. He sent me a text message with all these items, but
He did. We
some of them. And I
didn't
don't know
talk.
if it was meant to turn out this way.
It's good talk.
Yeah, it was good. All right. So, any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints, conspiracysoldiers@yahoo.com, conspiracysoldiers on Instagram, YouTube, Rumble, all that shit. And you guys got any closing things to say here? Anyone?
I just
Anyone?
say, good to see you, Julio.
Good to see you too,
Yeah.
Brian.
Yeah, it's been a while, man.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Long while.
Still alive.
Yeah, still
Still
alive.
kicking.
Me too. Hashtag me too.
Yep.
All right, so hopefully everyone's schedule works out and shit, some of the shit you were talking about, Brian, like working for the sheriff's office, you might not. Oh, never mind. I ain't gonna say anything, but hopefully everything works out and we can all meet back up weekly. But we'll see what happens.
I know we got some new listeners too because I've been talking up the podcast. I've been talking about you, Brian, and all your projects. And I've met a lot of good people in the service industry. Not in the service industry, but like armed forces. And it's always it's it you've been very impactful, I will say that, in my community. So thank you.
Nice.
Anything I can do, man?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, brothers. Until next time, Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.
Adios.